You're listening to Don't IEP Alone with Special Education Advocate Lisa Leitner. For more information about Lisa, the IEP Toolkit, and more ways we can help you in your process, go to adayinourshoes.com. Now back to the show with your host, Lisa.
Hello, and welcome to my presentation. I'm going to explain to you today what an IEP is. This is for parents. I mean, yes, teachers and school staff, if you're new to teaching, you may want to listen in. But this is for parents who often they're knee deep in the IEP process. They've already received an IEP for their child and they don't even fully understand what one is. Or sometimes they've been told by others, maybe a clinician, maybe another parent, maybe the teacher, they say your child could probably use an IEP. And parents are like, well, what is an IEP? So let's dig in and I will try to explain this as thoroughly as possible, but also as simply as possible and not waste any of your time. My name is Lisa Leitner. I have been a professional advocate since 2010 and have helped hundreds of parents in person and then online, I don't know, lots more. So an IEP is a federally defined document. It is defined by the law IDEA, which stands for Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. It's been around for almost 50 years. And it defines not only the IEP process, but it defines special education in this country. When I talk about IEPs, I am talking about students in the American public school system. I do believe, although I'm not positive, I do believe that Canada, England, some other countries have IEPs. But again, these are defined by U.S. federal laws. So I'm talking about American school students. If your child has an IEP, they are receiving special education. And then the flip side of that is if they need to receive special education, you have to have an IEP. IEP, as far as the federal definition, stands for Individualized Education Program. You will find a lot of people who use the word plan. Some people really take issue with that and insist that you use the word program. Some states actually use the word plan even on their official documents and websites and things like that. To me, if you're going to fight over the word program versus plan, rather than the larger issues, you know, which is the child getting what they need? To me, you're focusing on the wrong thing. But anyway, so to explain that again, if your child has an IEP, that means they are receiving special education. Special education is the specially designed instruction, and I'm going to throw another acronym at you, SDIs. The SDIs, that specially designed instruction, it's those specific targeted interventions that your child needs based on their individual disability. Okay, but to get SDIs, you must have an IEP. So it's kind of all the same thing. You can use the terms interchangeably. A child shouldn't be receiving special education without an IEP. And again, an IEP should include special education and not just accommodations. You also will hear this term FAPE thrown around a lot, probably, if you live in IEP land like I do. FAPE is another acronym. It stands for Free and Appropriate Education. It has been defined by numerous Supreme Court cases, and it's basically the pillar of special education, FAPE, right? Is that that's what your child is receiving. They're free and appropriate. Now, I wish that there was a more measurable term than appropriate, because that word appropriate is, in my mind or in my opinion, it is the basis of basically every dispute that a parent has with their school district, that the school district thinks one thing is appropriate. The parent thinks, no, this is what is appropriate. And that is why the IEP process can be so contentious at times, is that the parent is fighting with the team about FAPE and what is FAPE for the child. Now, you will read all over the place that parents are to be considered an equal member of the IEP team. And you are. That's what it says. But here's the thing. The school district, in my mind, still has the upper hand because even though parents are to be considered an equal member of the IEP team, what happens is that you often come to an impasse with your IEP team. And at some point, you know, you're saying this is appropriate. The school district is saying this is appropriate. And you meet and you meet and you meet and you keep talking about it. At some point, the school district is going to say, we believe this is appropriate and this is our final offer of FAPE. So that's why I feel that the school districts do get the upper hand because they are the ones in the position to present the parent with this is our final offer of FAPE, at which point you have to decide if you're going to read and use your procedural safeguards. I have another video on procedural safeguards that will tell you your rights and your options in the dispute resolution process. Back up a minute. One of the things or one of the principles that I pride myself on as far as an advocate and an advocate who trains and teaches a lot of parents on this is that I will always tell you the should be, right? So as far as IDEA and IEPs and all that, this is the what should be. But I also will tell you that, but here's the what is, right? We should always be striving to reach the ideal. This is what should be when it comes to IEPs. Unfortunately, what should be and where we're at as far as special education in this country are not the same. They're not the same at all, right? So again, you're going to be presented, if you're a parent, at some point you're going to be presented with the school district's final offer of FAPE. And they're going to say, this is it. This is the IEP. This is what we're offering. And then you read it and you decide what you're going to do as far as your parental rights and your dispute resolution procedures. If you disagree with that final offer of FAPE, I don't necessarily see that as being equal, but you know, they don't ask me. So now you're saying to yourself, you know what? I think my kid needs an IEP. I've been told that he needs an IEP. How do I get one? The first step is that you want to request evaluations. You want to do this in writing, never verbally, or verbally and in writing, but never just verbally. And you want to send out a well thought out, detailed email as far as what you are seeing in your child that makes you think they need special education. And I'm going to jump to number three, because what you are seeing as far as a learning disability of some kind, it needs to be interfering with their ability to access and benefit from their education. So not everybody that has a disability requires special education. Not everybody who has a disability has that, you know, their disability isn't interfering with their ability to access and benefit from their education. Once you request evaluations, and I have a sample evaluation request letter, there's templates and all kinds of great stuff on A Day in Our Shoes. You can look there. But once the school district does their evaluations, there are 14 categories of eligibility, and your child needs to fit into one of those 14 categories. It's 13 or 14 because there's one category that goes away when your kid is nine, and I'm not going to get that deep in the weeds about this today. But they need to be found eligible under one of those categories. Of course, some of the most common ones are SLD, which is specific learning disability, autism, intellectual disability, multiple disabilities, blind and hard of hearing, and so on and so on. Again, there are 13 or 14 of them to choose from that the team chooses from after comprehensive evaluations. I don't want to get too deep into this because I have a ton of information on my site about evaluations, which you should read if your child is getting evaluations. Now, from there, and take a deep breath because this flow chart is not as scary as it looks at first glance, but I have charted out the IEP process for parents. And you start up here in the upper left-hand corner to where, you know, and it says right there, parent recognizes needs or struggles in their child. And then it takes you right through the entire process and all the what ifs. If the school does this, if the school does that, what are your next steps? So come back and visit this. It's also on my website, adayinourshoes.com. Just Google, or not Google, but search on the site. I think I called it the IEP process flow chart or something like that. Timeline, IEP process timeline, something like that. But you can go through all the different steps and what you should expect. Now, if you get to one of these different blocks, you know, like down here, it says ask for an IEE. Again, go on my site and then search for IEE, and that will explain that whole process to you. Okay. And so on and so on. So if you would like more information, if you would like more information or get my IEP toolkit, that's the website. If you go to forums.adayinourshoes.com, those are my free chat forums. They're free. I do pay advocates to check in and answer every question. So you can be guaranteed that every single question posted on there will be answered by a professional advocate. And of course, I invite you to follow me on Facebook and so on and so on. Listen, enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope your IEP process goes smoothly. If it doesn't, if you have questions, if you have this gut feeling that something isn't going right, just come on back to my site or come on back and watch more videos, and we'll get you set up and fixed up.
Thank you for listening to Don't IEP Alone with Special Education Advocate Lisa Leitner. We're so glad you've joined us and would love to connect with you outside of the show. For more information about Lisa, the IEP Toolkit, and more ways we can help you in your process, go to adayinourshoes.com. From self-care tips to common IEP mistakes, there's even more to explore. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast and subscribe to never miss an episode. Until next time, don't IEP alone, and you don't have to.